If we want to partake of the things of God, we have to do them his way, right? Not our way. He's not obligated to confirm our word or just anything we happen to believe. Bible says in Matthew 28, or actually, I think it's in Mark's gospel, after the Great Commission, in the 16th verse, it says, so then the Lord spoke to them. Well, I'm just going to back up a minute. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? That's good news. Aren't you glad it's good news we get to preach? That we don't have to be bearers of bad news. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs might follow? No, they will follow those who believe. So believing is a requirement. It doesn't say that the born-again Christian, because you have to believe in all of the work of Christ if you're going to appropriate it. So he says, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will no by any means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is one of the signs of the believer. So if you're really a believer, you should be doing these works that Jesus did. It's not up to just the person in the pulpit. Every born-again believer that can believe this and dares to believe it can do the works that Jesus did. We're a teaching ministry, and I encourage people to get involved in being a doer of the Word of God. Now, if you're not at that place, I remember when I wasn't. I remember the first time that I saw that. It's like, wow, I've never seen anybody do that before. Never heard of it working. Heard all sorts of reasons why it wasn't for today. But when I found out that it was, that Peter's account of it, when he said, by his stripes we were healed, then that's a done deal. That settles it. Don't ever let your circumstance or what has happened to you or the results that you get, don't let those results try to make God's word true or not. God's word is true. Your circumstance or the result you got has no bearing on the truth of God's word, because you could be prayed for and not be healed and think, well, it's not God's will, and you could get confused. So don't ever try to use experiences of man to prove God's word. God's word doesn't have to be proved by man. His word stands alone. Matter of fact, he says in his word that his word's above his name. He said that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not. That's how sure God is of his word. And he said he sent that word, and it goes forth into the world, and he says it'll accomplish what he desires. It'll prosper where he sends it. Well, when you send God's word, that's why we agree with God's word. When we send God's word, we get the results of God's word. Now, you might be saying, well, I had a situation where I was prayed for and I didn't get healed. No, healing came, and I believe you were totally healed, because otherwise God's word is not true, and that's not true. His word is true. But the enemy is going to fight you. He's going to get you to try to disbelieve. And he's going to bring thoughts, and he'll even bring another pain, or that same pain. And he's going to try to get you to dispute God's word. But here's the thing. It is the will of God, the established will of God, that you be healed. We saw it in Isaiah 53. Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24. That is the will of God, the divine will of God. The devil's will is that you don't make it. He wants to steal, kill it, and destroy. But you have a will. You have a will. And it's your will that's going to determine whether you go over or whether you go under. Nobody else's will is going to determine that. It's up to you. When God created Adam, he gave him divine will, and every person has a free will. You can choose to receive Jesus, or you can choose to reject him. And Jesus even said, broad is the way to destruction, and many choose it. But narrow is, and straight is the way, and few that find it. So he already knows that there's going to be a lot of people that reject him. But it also says in his word that he desires that everybody comes unto repentance and everybody gets born again. Everybody comes into his family. He sent Jesus for 100% of the people of mankind. But everybody has a will. And you and I both know there are people that they'll just say, they'll go right to their deathbed saying, you know, I'm just going to go to hell and have a party. You know, how many have ever heard that? Well, there's no partying going on in hell. Hell is a real place. And so people, they're deceived. They're blinded. They're blinded, the Bible says. The god of this world, Satan, little s, little Satan, has blinded the people. And so that's why we need the light of the word of God, the truth, to shine. And the Bible says in Matthew 5, 16, I believe it is, so shall you let your light shine. We need to let the light of the gospel shine through us. And so when we encounter people in the world that are in situations, you know, we don't want to be preaching hard at them, but just gently. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Not bash them on the head with a hammer, tell them they're going to hell. That doesn't accomplish much, if anything. So anyway, I was approaching verse 20 here. So then Jesus gave the commission, and he says, verse 20, they went out and they preached. That's the believer. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through the accompanying signs, through the miracles. God is responsible and obligated to confirm his word. Not our word, unless our word agrees with his word. Then he's responsible to enforce it. Amen? That's the truth of the word. That's how God's kingdom operates. He set things up, and he's not changing them. Malachi says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. In Hebrews, it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can count on him. You can count on him. You can always count on him. And so when he says that all things are possible to him who believes, it's just a matter of us finding out what it is we need to believe, healing, for instance, and then settle it once and forever. Settle it in your heart, not in your head. Not in your head. We're going to look at faith here in a minute. And, let's just go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And in the first verse it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is actually a substance. It's actually a reality. And it says it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence. So in a court of law, they have Exhibit A. And it's in a baggie, and it's Exhibit A, and it's the evidence. Let's say it's the gun. They found the gun on the person that they found, and everything matches, the ballistics, and they do all that. And Exhibit A is used as evidence. Well, in the supernatural spirit realm, where we operate, because we are spirit, and we also operate in this natural realm, our evidence is what's called our faith. That's our evidence. We need nothing else but our evidence, our faith. Now, turn over to Mark's gospel, because Jesus, in verse 22, said, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. He had just cursed a tree, which was perverted because it did not have any fruit on it, and it should have. And so he just spoke to it and said, let nobody eat, verse 14, fruit from you ever again. And it says, and his disciples heard it. Remember, every word in the Bible is there for a reason. His disciples heard it. Don't you know that night, all night long, they were thinking about that. He spoke to a tree. No evidence that he had ever spoken to a tree before. And so now they're thinking about this. The next day, in the morning, verse 20, they passed by. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said, Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So here, Jesus is telling us that we can speak to a situation, and if we believe it in our heart with no doubting, that we will have those things we say that we believe. We don't just have it if we say it. We have to believe it. That's where the believing part comes in. And that's why we need to get our minds set on the Word of God to know what we're believing. Is it the truth? If you believe God doesn't heal anymore, then that's what you'll believe, and that's what will be the reality in your life. I guess he just doesn't. I've had people tell me that. And even though I've shared the Word and gotten the Word of God on it, their mindset for so long has been that it's passed away with, that they refuse to act on it, and I can't help them. God can't help them. What I prayed, because that happened actually one time, and I just had to pray for this individual, you know, by myself. Lord, open their eyes so that they'll see the truth. So that they'll get the revelation that, oh, maybe I missed it. God hasn't missed it. Isaiah 53 is true. 1 Peter 2:24 is the recorded evidence of what Isaiah prophesied and what the reality of what Jesus went to the cross. And so we can't force it on people because they have a will. You have a will. As I said a minute ago, God's will is that you be healed. How do I know that? Well, he sent Jesus not just to pay for our sins, but remember, sickness and disease came into this earth because of sin, because of the fall in the garden. Adam wasn't sick. Adam was made perfect. He enjoyed a perfect garden. No mosquitoes. I was out today and there was mosquitoes jumping around. I had to speak to them. Yes, I do. I tell them, you don't bite me. And they don't. You ask my wife. When I first was dating her, and I told her that, she's probably thinking, what is with him? I said, hey, it works. It works. Jesus spoke to a tree, I speak to mosquitoes. Anyway, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So here in verse 23, he's telling us how to act and release faith. And verse 24 is the prayer of faith. But when it comes to our healing, we don't have to pray that we be healed. We have to do 23. We have to believe that it's so, and then we command sickness to leave. We command pain to go. We command infirmity to go. We command our body to line up with the way God created it. Now, why don't we ask Jesus to heal us? Because he would say, I already have. I did that 2,000 years ago. And so we need to understand that so that we can release our faith and believe and receive our healing. We're just receiving. Our faith, we said that it was or the Bible says that it's evidence. But our faith, in a nutshell, if you will, is our response to what God's already done by grace. That's our evidence. We're responding. When I got born again, I was responding to the gospel message of the Word of God, and I got saved at 14 years old. Now, I have been healed before, and I received... I had a broken toe once, and I began to speak to it. And my boss, who wasn't a Christian at the time, he witnessed it. And he knew that I couldn't walk very good. But when God healed it, instantly I was at work. And I took my boot and sock off to show him. And he probably thought I was crazy. But he saw something happened. He saw something happened. Now, I began speaking over it at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was about 5 minutes after 1 in the afternoon the next day when it completely just, the pain was gone. The toe went back to normal. You ask me why. I don't know why. I just know what the Word says, and I choose to believe the Word. And so I stay with the Word. Don't ever get frustrated if you know you were believing God and for healing and you think you didn't get the healing. Well, that thought came from the devil. That's where that thought came from. And so you began to agree with that, and you began to, and you know, maybe a day went by, or maybe 2 days went by. I've stood on the Word of God for 4 months. I know people that are still standing, but here's the important thing to remember when you're standing. When you're standing, you need to be thanking Him that you're already healed. You don't keep asking Him over and over every day, God, heal me, God, heal me. You have to believe you receive it. And when you get that revelation of that, now it's just a matter of thanking Him for it. And that can be hard. I'm not saying that it's always easy. We always believe for the instant miracle. That's the best and the highest. But what do you do if you don't get that? What if the working of miracles isn't in operation? I've seen it in operation. I've seen it when it's not been in operation. But I don't question God. I don't go to Him and say, God, why? I just know that the anointing of God, the power of God, is on His Word. I can always go to His Word and receive healing by His Word. Because He's provided for us. I've seen about a dozen different ways God's provided. Some of them are kind of a variation of another one. You know, the centurion, speak the word. Well, you can speak the word to another location, or you can speak the word to somebody that's right in front of you. That's really one and the same, but I just like to say that that's, you know, I can help somebody that's not here, but I can help somebody that is here. But the first thing that you want to do is locate where people are. I had a situation where I was called to a hospital a number of years back, and little baby was not looking good, very gray, and they were concerned the baby wasn't going to make it. So I got a phone call, you know, would you come and pray? And so I didn't know, you know, on my way, I'm praying in the Spirit. It was down in Concord. And I didn't know what this mother was believing. I didn't know if she was in doubt and unbelief. I didn't know if she even understood the Word. I didn't know if she was in fear. Fear will cripple your faith. So when I got there, I just began talking to her about the gospel. Not that Jesus saves, because she was already saved, but the good news that, you know what, the work's been done regarding healing as well. And I wanted this mother to get involved in the healing of her baby boy. And he was just a little baby, just a few months old, less than 6 months old. And so I talked, and probably 45, 50 minutes goes by, and I'm locating where she's at. And then I saw the spirit of faith rise up in her. And I said, now is when we pray. And so I said, Mom, I said, you put your hands on the baby. And I put my hands, and my wife was with me, and we the three of us put our hands, but I saw her faith. I was prayed up, so my faith, it wasn't that in my mind. I wanted her. And so right from that moment, we got a report that night that something changed. The color came back into the baby, and they happened to come to this church. And matter of fact, the first healing and miracle service we ever did, She came up and gave a testimony of that because it happened just like a month before that. So this goes back about a little over two years. But I had to locate where she was at. The Word of God will locate you. Let me show you in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 4, that it says that. The Word of God will locate. It says, I have a little heading that says, the Word discovers our condition. It says, in verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will show. And so as I shared the Word of God with this woman, the Word of God began to manifest in her. The power of the Word of God began to manifest, and it brought her faith up. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this was a word project to get her, to find out where she was at when her faith raised up. Then that was it. Now it's time to pray. Because you don't want to, Bible says we lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But you don't want to just lay hands on somebody unless you're ready to release your faith. You want to be in agreement and believing. You have to believe that when you lay hands. And don't you know, the enemy, even for seasoned ministers that have been doing this 30, 40 years, the enemy will try to talk to them and tell them, you know what, tonight it isn't going to work. There's too many people with too bad of diseases that, you know. So even the man or woman of God, but just like I said earlier, you can lay hands on the sick, but you've got to be at the place where you believe it. And you understand that? Mark 16 said that the believer will lay hands on the sick. Okay? The reason we take time with the Word of God is because faith is building up in you right now. Faith is building up in you. You've got to believe. So number one, you have to hear. And we saw in Isaiah 53 and then in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus has already paid the price for our healing. And so now what's the next step? You have to hear. But now you're going to have to believe. And we saw in Isaiah 53:1, who has believed the report and to whom is the arm of the Lord, the strong arm of God, been revealed to? The one that believes the report. That makes sense, doesn't it? The one that doubts will not get anything. You know, Bible talks about that over in James chapter 1. Even when you're asking God, and he gave the example, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. But let him ask in faith. Because let not that man think he'll receive anything if he's wavering, if he's double-minded, going back and forth. Well, will he or won't he? Is this my night or is this not my night? You know, one thing you can't pray for is for the future for you to be healed, because faith is always now. God is the great I am now. Next Tuesday, he will still be, next Tuesday, I am. He's not I will be. He says, I am. And so our faith, that's how our faith operates. Now, I believe I receive, in Mark 11, 24. You have to believe when you pray, not after you see the result. That would be seeing or knowing. There's no faith there. And God says that we have to receive by faith. And so we want to do it God's way to be able to receive the benefit. Amen. It is an amazing benefit for people to get healed. Connie, I remember when your daughter was here and she didn't even know Jesus, other than what you might have said, but she didn't have a personal relationship. And she had something from her birth, and God healed her. Because God's mercy. See, he was trying to get her attention. And he healed her of two or three different things from what I can remember. And then it was after that. It was that night. Somebody shared with her, you know, have you accepted Jesus? And she says, no. He said, would you like to? She said, well, absolutely. And so he healed her before she was even a Christian. Because he loves people. And so Jesus died for the lovely and the unlovely. You know, most of us are unlovely. There weren't any lovely. There were no perfect. While we were still sinning, he died for us. And so anyway, we have to believe it. In Mark chapter 2, go over there with me. We see a story. I want to show you how God has recorded some stories for us for our benefit, so that we can learn, that we can understand. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And again Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door." So we've got a packed out house. And it says, "And he preached the word to them." Verse 3, "They came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they went home." They gave up. No, they said the meeting sold out. I guess we're out of luck. They could have said, well, I guess if it was God's will that our buddy gets healed, he would have certainly made sure there was a seat for us. No, see, there's a lot of excuses or a lot of situations that can come to your mind as to why God might not want to, but you've got to settle it once and for all. It is God's will that you be healed. Always. That's important. And these boys had heard about Jesus, and they weren't leaving without getting healed. They were tired of lugging him fishing. They were tired of lugging him to the ball field. They had to lug him everywhere they went. And he was their buddy. And so, you know, fortunately for him, they cared enough. They didn't just leave him somewhere and say, we're going to play ball. No. They were determined when they found out about Jesus, when they heard about Jesus. And so they uncovered the roof. So they climbed up to the roof. How many know that would take some diligence and some effort to get up to the roof and to uncover the roof while they're holding him so he doesn't slide off? And one's holding on to him, and the others are tearing up the tiles and making it big enough to let down the mat that he was on. And they had it all figured out. They found out where Jesus was. They probably peeked in, said, oh, he's over in this part of the house. So, because it says they lowered him down. And verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, what did Jesus see? He saw their response to what they believed. They believed if they could get their buddy to Jesus, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So today we can't get him to physical Jesus, but we can get people to the Word, who is Jesus. So they believed their response to do all of this and get him down there was enough for Jesus to say, my goodness, he saw their faith. If he had looked out and saw them wandering off and going home, he would have said, I don't know what he would have said. But I'm sure it pleased him that they were diligent. My point for saying all that is we need to be diligent with his word to get it into our hearts. In the Gospels where Jesus talks about sowing the sower, and it's recorded in three different Gospels, and he says that the seed is the word of God. And he talked about different conditions of the soil. And it's referring to the different conditions of men's heart. Because there's never a variable with the word. The word doesn't change. And so we want to get the good ground of our heart to receive that word. How do we do that? By meditating on the word. We have to, and we see all the different reasons why the word didn't work. Some heard it, got excited, but then they got offended. And they left. And now they lose out. And then others says, you know, the thorns came in and choked out the word. What was it doing? It was choking out the word of God. And it says it was by the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. You know what the deceitfulness of riches is? It's not that money's deceitful. It's not that money's bad. It's that you thinking you're going to get it on your own without God. That's the deceit part of it. You think you don't need God. God put that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, a whole chapter to tell you after all of these things and you've had houses and your flocks multiply and your gold multiplies, but don't forget it's me that gives you the power to get it. And so that's one of the things that chokes out the word. That's why I say sometimes that the most dangerous time in a Christian's life is when everything's going good. Because you don't see the need based on the circumstances that you need God anymore, that he's your source. If you've got plenty of money coming in, if your health is good, all your kids are serving God, everything's going great, you'd be tempted, and he said we would. That's why he recorded it. That's why that's a dangerous time. But anyway, back to these four guys. I want you to notice something. They couldn't get in the door, but they recorded here. God recorded it, and he preached the word to them. Jesus preached the word. See, Jesus preached the word and got results. Jesus preached the word. Now, in Luke chapter 5, this same story is recorded, but something else is in there. Now, it happened on a certain day as Jesus was teaching. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out from every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So they heard he was going. They purposed to go to this house knowing he was going to be there. And look at the next verse. I don't know if we have that there. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Mark didn't record that the power of the Lord was there. And Luke didn't record that he preached the word. But when he preached the word, the power showed up. Both of them are important. So when we preach the word, the power of the word is there to do what the word says it's to do. And God said over in Jeremiah 1:12, I watch over my word to make sure it comes to pass. He said, and I already quoted Isaiah 55:11, wherever I send my word, it prospers, it accomplishes what I desire. The word has the power in it. And that's what they, you know, Mark brings it out that he preached the word. Luke brings it out that the power was there. Now, in Luke's account, neither one of the accounts show that anybody else got healed at that meeting. And yet, we know the power was there, and he preached the word, and we know the word has the power to heal. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word, and he healed them. And he delivered them from all their destruction. So the word works. That's why when nothing else seems to be working, you can go to the word. And how many have ever been to a doctor, you know, and they prescribe drugs. And they give you a prescription and they give you little instructions. Take 3 times a day for 10 days. And we follow those instructions, you know, doctor's orders. And we don't miss. Well, I'd encourage you, do the same thing with the word of God. Be diligent like those four guys and the guy on the stretcher did. They were diligent to get to Jesus. The word of God is Jesus. Be diligent to get to it. When we looked at Hebrews 11 earlier, I read verse 11. I didn't really comment on it, but it says, let us diligently labor to enter into the rest. The labor is the getting into the word part. The labor is to show us that his word, we're in a new covenant now where everything's already been done. There's no hard toiling anymore. The labor is to find out what God's done, find out what the good and precious promises are, and then receive them. That's the labor that the body of Christ needs to be laboring in. He talked when he came back from being crucified and was raised back up. In Acts chapter 1, it says, he taught for 40 days on the things pertaining to the kingdom. That's where we live, church. We live in the kingdom. He gave a 40-day seminar on how to operate in this life. And I don't believe he left out healing. I believe he told them, look, the work's been done. Here I am. You saw me die, you were sad, but now I'm here and you're glad. And then when he told them, I'm going to go away, and they got freaked out, they didn't want him to, he said, look, if I don't go away, Now I can't, God can't send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's here to guide us and lead us now. The very power of God, the strong arm of God is inside of you. That's how far you have to go to find God, right inside of you. That's good. That's good to know that we, you know, God's not a million miles away. You know, have you ever heard anybody say, God, where are you? Why don't, you know, why aren't you hearing me? He does. Why aren't you doing anything? He's already done. He's already done a lot. He wants us to cooperate with him. And so these guys, they could have given up, but they didn't. They heard about Jesus. They heard about the word, and they were determined they were going to get it. And they got it. They believed the report, and Jesus called it faith. Their response by doing what they did was all that was necessary. Now, that was a little bit harder than what you need to do tonight. You don't need to do that and cut through the roof. You just need to simply believe. They believed. They showed evidence of the belief. And then they went and acted on what they believed. Don't let the devil talk you out of your healing. Don't let him tell you, you know, he'll tell you all sorts of things. You know, well, you know, you got prayed for 3 years ago. So what? Then just tell the devil, I'm healed. And then just act on that. He might tell you, well, you know, you missed it and you were in sin. Well, so get out of sin. You know, sin in itself can bring things on you. But the thing that the devil wants to do from the result of the sin that you got into is to keep harassing you with it so that you can't release faith. Because you're self-condemning yourself. And if you're self-condemning yourself, you can't release faith. You're beating yourself up. That's why 1 John 1:9 says that we need to confess our sins. We don't have to confess our sins for God to forgive us. He's already forgiven us. It's for our benefit that was written. So that we get it out of us so that now we can get back to walking by faith. Do you see that? Maybe you never thought of that before. But Jesus paid the price for your sin at Calvary. And so today, when we miss it, we have to be diligent to confess that, to get it out of our heart, to get it out of our mind, our soul, because the enemy will use it against you. And then you'll beat yourself up, and he'll take you to the grave with it. You know, maybe you had a situation where, you know, you got into, you know, maybe just, anybody ever heard of telling white lies? Well, there's no such thing. If you told a white lie, you told a lie, you know? Well, so just make the correction, repent of it, and get on with living in victory. Amen? So faith is your response to what God has already provided by grace. Okay, so lastly, because these guys were fully persuaded, right? They were fully convinced. And they were fully committed to. And that's what we need to be. The three C's, fully convinced, fully committed, and fully, what was the other one I said? Confidence in. You have to have confidence in the word. You have to be convinced that the word is true. And then you have to be committed to. And I wrote, totally committed. Totally committed. We don't have to be totally committed to that doctor's report. I'd encourage you, if you want God on the scene, just forget that report. Because remember Isaiah 53:1 says, whose report will you believe? That's the important one. I'm not saying that x-ray didn't show that there was actually damage to your spleen. I'm not saying that. That's mind science trying to fake you out if you're trying to do that. No, we just don't agree with that report because we agree with a higher report that says, by the stripes Jesus bore, we've been healed. And then when we agree with that and release our faith, our response to what Jesus did brings healing into that body part. And that's how we receive it. It's not mind science at all. It's not science at all. All right, lastly, so we have to hear it. We have to believe it. Now we have to receive it. So how do we do that? I want to show you in one more story here. In Mark's gospel, in chapter 5, it's actually two stories in one. It starts out when Jesus, verse 21, of Mark 5, when Jesus crossed over again to the other side, a great multitude gathered, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death." So this is pretty serious. He says, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him. So Jesus was acting on Jairus' faith that if Jesus came and laid hands, he'd be healed. If Jesus didn't intend on doing that, he would have told him. But it says he went with him. So when you come to Jesus, when you come to the word that says by his stripes you're healed, believe that word. Because Jesus in the person responded to Jairus' command, really. He begged him, come and lay your hands. When you go to the word will release the power in it. By the stripes you were healed. And you can receive that. Jesus and the word are synonymous. Can you see that? So we see here when Jesus walked the earth that he physically agreed with Jairus and said, "I'm coming to the house." That's what he told him to do. If he had told him to do something else, he would have. We see in, we're not going to turn there, but with the centurion said, actually he asked him, he said, "I've got a servant that's sick." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." Centurion said, I'm not even worthy of you coming to my place. You just speak the word. And then according to the way he believed, he said that in that same hour, that servant was healed. He didn't even have to go. If Jairus had said, "Jesus, just speak the word," he would have just spoken the word and the little girl would have gotten healed that way. So now look what happens. Jesus, picture this, he's going with him, but now there's a great multitude of people. Picture this, if this is your daughter, you want him to get there how fast? Because she's at the point of death. Like as fast as, don't anybody interrupt us, don't bother us. But multitudes, I mean, probably hundreds of people. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." So now she suffered financial loss. Plus, she's getting worse. When she heard about the word, she came in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, the Amplified says, "For she kept saying, 'If I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health.'" So here for this woman, she had heard about Jesus. There's other accounts in the Gospels where it said many came to him and just touched him. She must have heard one of those reports. Otherwise, why would she think she could do that? She had heard that report. That was going to be her point of contact. See, there's many ways we can get healed. That for her, it was when I get to him, and see, she had an issue of blood. She was unclean. She should not have even been out in public. Others could have stoned her to death for her being out in public. So she's taking a big risk, isn't she? But she heard about Jesus. She heard about the word. And she says, "When I get there, I know when I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. I know when I touch him." I believe she said it over and over and over until she got there, and bam, she did it. And then look what happens. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction, just like she believed. Can you see that? She believed that when I touch him, I'm going to get it. She touched him, and she got it, just like she believed. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, he turned around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" So he was aware that power went out from him, but he didn't know there's a multitude of people here. And so it says, he looked around to see her who had done this thing, and she was fearing and trembling, knew what happened. She came and fell down and told him the whole truth. And what did he say to her? "Daughter, my power has healed you." No. He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Jesus said, "Daughter, your response to me, the word, to what you believed has healed you. Just let that sink in. Jesus said, daughter, your faith, your response. So I ask you, what would your response be? You hear the word tonight? You believe the word tonight? You respond and receive it. You respond and receive it. Savannah, would you come up here for a second? Help me. I happen to have a $20 bill here. Yeah, turn around and let everybody see. And I really would like you to have it. I really would like you to have it, okay? Okay, so she's coming after it. What is she doing? She took it. She took it. I didn't have to give it. She pulled it right out of my hands. I was holding on to it. She received it. That's what, you may go sit down. Thank you. That's what receiving is. It's taking. You take hold of what you believe. I take hold of my heart healed. I take hold of healing in my body. I take hold of what Jesus paid for. I take hold of it. I receive it. I make it mine. I possess that which I believe. I believe I'm healed. I possess that. I'm a possessor of that. See, it's that part is the responsibility of the person that wants to be healed. There's a part to play. We have to partake in the things that God has done for us. Otherwise, we know it is the will of God that every single person be healed, but not every single person on this planet is healed. And I could share with you a number of reasons. One, not all have heard that it is the will of God for them to be healed. I've shared with many that never knew that. And so once they do that, now they need to believe it. And so that's where faith comes. That's where faith comes in. And so as you hear it, as you believe it, that woman heard the report. She heard about Jesus. She heard the report that had gone out about Jesus as the healer. And you know what? She was at a pretty low point because she's broke now and she got worse. And she can't even go back to a doctor, not that that would help her any, because she's been to all the doctors in her town. And she got worse, and she spent all her money. But she heard about Jesus. So it doesn't matter where you are in the place of the circumstance that you're facing, when you hear about Jesus and you receive what he did, you get the result. You get the healing.